Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And for those of you just joining us, we were hearing from Pamela Robusch. She is the Chief Executive Officer of TSI, one of the world's leading logistics executive search firms. And she was just giving us some insight into what's happening. And I think what she's saying is that capacity of the steamships, trains, all the freight forwarders is really beginning to get squeezed. So we're definitely, from her perspective, heading into an upswing or a potential bull run as we head into our Vision 2020 here. And that's a global prediction, because these logistics companies really have their fingers on the pulse of the markets, because all those goods that are being shipped, all those commodities, any FMCG, pretty much everything is running through these companies. So they are a good economic indicator, in my opinion, better than some of the other stuff that you may hear. And so that was very positive. And she also pointed out that the market equity of logistics professionals is really on the upswing as well, because, you know, not only are you seeing growth in this area, but you're also seeing a huge increase in the complexity of the supply chain, just in time and everything else. That these are no longer your average warehouse managers. These are actually very sophisticated people, some of them commanding juicy seven-figure salaries. So that's quite a shift from what we saw in the previous century, where we might have had a different vision of the person who was running the warehouse. If you missed that, you can catch that on our website at dubaieye1038.com and visit the Eye on Careers podcast. Also, if you had any questions, you can SMS us at 4001 or use your mobile app. Now, we have a very exciting story. One of the dot-com entrepreneurs of the region, a cybernaut, as I like to call them. But this is an individual who had a great career going for himself, and he threw it all away to chase his dreams, to follow his heart, to listen to his gut, and off into cyberspace he ventured. And he's the co-founder of Namshi.com, a fashion online retailer. But let's hear a little bit more about his background.
Hossam Arab is the co-founder and managing director of online fashion store Namshi.com, selling everything from clothes, shoes, dresses, and accessories. Hossam and his team founded Namshi in 2012. He has since overseen the strong growth of the online fashion retailer, making it to one of the largest online fashion stores in the region in just 2 years. Prior to co-founding Namshi, Hossam worked in private equity with Waha Capital in Abu Dhabi, sourcing new investments for the firm across multiple industries and managing Waha's portfolio of assets. Other earlier posts include a regional project management role at General Electric. He was also a project engineer at Schlumberger, an oil services company, where he was responsible for projects across Europe and Africa. A UAE resident for more than 30 years, Hossam earned a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Canada's Queen's University and holds an MBA from the prestigious Harvard Business School in Boston. When the day's work is done, Hossam enjoys spending time with his two children and is an avid football fan.
Well, that's quite a bio. Hossam, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Hi, Shane.
It's great. I was just talking to you when you got in here, and I guess you've been in Dubai for 30 years.
I've been in the UAE for over 30 years. Most of my time has been in Abu Dhabi and more recently moved to Dubai.
Okay, so that was like the 80s. You were running around on your BMX in the corniche of Abu Dhabi, I guess.
Yeah, that's basically my story.
That's it. That's it. It ends there. But so you've really seen this place grow. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's astounding. I think when we were in Abu Dhabi, most of the growth and the change was happening in Dubai. And I think over the past few years, Abu Dhabi has started to catch up. But we've seen it happen in Dubai, and it has been absolutely amazing.
That was a generous statement that they're catching up, but we'll see that pans out. I mean, there was like a 5-minute wait in the escalator for Dubai Mall. Like, you know, you're waiting, and to go up the escalator, there's a standing line.
Wow.
So, you know, as I said, catching up, but yeah. So you went to school out here. Did you have a vision that you were going to be an entrepreneur, or, you know, because a lot of people struggle to find their direction in life.
Sure.
What was it like for you?
So absolutely not. I think I had a very typical childhood where I grew up here, went to school here, and for your average Arab youth, you're either going to be a doctor or an engineer when you grow up, and I went to university with that in mind. I think my first first 6 months I was studying to become a doctor.
In Canada,
In Canada.
Such a Canadian theme, because our last is from Canada.
So first 6 months I was studying to become a doctor, and I quickly changed my mind, moved into the other option, which was engineering.
Really? What prompted that?
As I mentioned, I think it was the two options available to the average Arab youth growing up. When I did get into a university, I think my thought process was that I did not want to spend the rest of my life in school. And so I left pre-med and moved into engineering. It was something I think theoretically I enjoyed learning about. It was very challenging, and I think that's something that that kept me going. I was pretty happy with that decision. Graduate.
Being a doctor is a bit gross as well, though. You're always dealing with sick people, and it's like, you know, kind of, I'm sure they see very things that I just wouldn't want to describe on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I think for me it was more. You know, obviously, I try to have a soft heart, but for me it was much more to do with the fact that I did not want to be in school for too long.
Really, you wanted to make that money.
Cash in
on this big, juicy brain. By the way, Hussam went to Queen's, which is one of the toughest schools to get into in Canada. So then you head out into engineering and join Schlumberger and these other companies, and it's about an eight-year run. So at that point, did you have a vision yet of what you wanted to do, or... You're going to be Jack Welch. You were going to be like the next Jack Welch at that point.
As well, I think Schlumberger for me, it was something that came up through serendipity. I moved back to the UAE, and that was a job that was available. It paid well, so got into that fairly soon after graduating, but very quickly realized that it was not what I wanted to do, and I think that's a recurring theme in along my career. And I try something out, thinking that the grass is greener somewhere else, and I move to that new area, and very soon after that, find out that as well, it's not something that I wanted to do. So
you're looking for a solution on the outside, but really, what was not right was on the inside.
I agree. I think. I tried, and I did want to succeed in those various businesses and in those various careers, but I think it was always something missing. I did not know what that was. So I think after about 4 years doing engineering roles, I thought, why not switch gears and move into business? And I was starting to get. I was gaining an interest in that field, obviously learning a lot about it. It was mid 2005, 2006, and I think stock market was post crash of the dot-coms. So I kept abreast of what was happening, and I think that piqued my interest, and I said, why not? Let me jump into that field. And at that point in time, the best course of action I thought was to do an MBA and completely switch gears.
Right. So what's your take on that? Would you suggest to people, should they take their MBA? Is it worth it? What kind of things should they think about when they're making that kind of a decision?
The way I see the MBA, for me personally, the MBA was a launch pad into a new career. It was I wanted to completely switch, and the MBA allowed me to do that. But I don't think that's essential. I think there's many other ways in which people can do it. I think for me, it was the right time, and I decided to take that leap. So really, for me, it was my way of switching gears and switching careers to something completely different. What I got out of the MBA was as well very, very, very valuable. So within the first year, it was trying to discover myself and trying to see what I wanted to do. And I think very, very similar to my previous few years before going there, it was very difficult to put a finger on it.
And you didn't just go to any school. You ended up going to Harvard, which is, you know, quite, you know, stands out from the crowd slightly. You know, I'm sure when you, it's one of the top schools. I think they invented, actually, they did. They invented the MBA.
Yes, they did. I don't like to drop the H-bomb too often, but yes.
I did, though.
It was, for me, it was at that point in time, I wanted to do something big, and I wanted to go to one of the big schools. So Harvard was that, and I was lucky to get accepted into Harvard, and spent the next 2 years there, really meeting some amazing people. When you get into Harvard, you realize how mediocre you are, just by the sheer. The quality of the people that are around you and the quality of the people that come and speak to you.
It's been amazing. But I always think that, you know, people make the mistake of going to an unbranded school or tier three or tier four school thinking that, you know, the main point is to learn what's in the books or learn the case studies, which has some value. But, you know, 50% of whatever you learn is going to be obsolete anyway by the time you leave. In my opinion, the big gain from an MBA is your power network that you walk out there with. And secondly, the extra confidence that you get, you know, the confidence that drives your ability to take on business challenges. And I don't know, what do you see if you were going to say, you know, what's the number one or number two big takeaways people should expect from the MBA experience? What would you say those are?
I agree. I get asked this question a lot by prospective MBA students. And my answer really is, what are you hoping to get out of it? The person going there really needs to have that figured out, and for me it was a complete switch of careers. The reason I went to Harvard was it was the perfect place for me to try to figure that out while meeting great people that would help me get to that point. So I think definitely I don't think it is just about the education, because you could read a few books and there's a lot of online education available right now to get you that knowledge. But I think getting an MBA and getting an MBA from a prestigious school is much more than just the education and the knowledge.
Going to Harvard will never hurt the career. So this is a story of Hussam Arab, the co-founder of Namshi.com, one of the leading online fashion retailers. He's going to be talking about exactly how he made the leap from employee to employer in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. For those just joining us, we are talking to Hussam Arab, the founder of Namshi.com, one of the leading fashion retailers here in the GCC. And he started off as an engineer. Well, he started off potentially he was going to be a doctor, decided he couldn't wait that long to make money, so he went into engineering. And then after engineering, he decided he needed to go into business. So he went back and did his MBA at one of the top business schools in the world. And after that, that's basically what we've caught up to. But I think the big takeaways was the importance of going to, or the added value of going to, a branded top school definitely will put the wind in your sails. Getting an MBA from Harvard will never hurt your career. It's not going to be that thing that kneecaps you. Definitely going to catapult you forward. But the biggest takeaway is the network, the alumni that you get to work with and get to be inspired and learn from. I think they say you learn more from your classmates than you do from your professor. But Hussam, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
So you graduate from your MBA. What happens? Can you just give us the fast forward? You jump into private equity, which I think when you do your MBA, you have to be a strategy consultant or you have to be a private equity guy. You can't do anything else.
Exactly. if you want to make money, those are some of the few options that are available. So I did take the leap into private equity, and I moved back to the UAE. I worked for a company called Waha Capital in Abu Dhabi for about a year and a half. It was a great experience, but I think back to where I was before the MBA, there was something missing. And I think at that point in time, I really figured out that after trying so many different careers and so many fields, it wasn't the field that was the issue. I think it was just myself and not really enjoying what I was doing and not waking up every morning and being excited to rush to work. And so started having discussions with a few people, and really overnight quit my job and decided to move to Dubai.
Was it dramatic? Were you like, "That's it, I'm out of here"?
It was very melodramatic.
By the way, that tie sucks, buddy.
No, we left on really good terms, and I think they saw where I was coming from, and really.
Oh, you're
me.
All civilized. Like,
yeah.
Hello, I really enjoyed working with you, but it's time for me to move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was anti-dramatic. That was anti-dramatic. But I guess that's what happens when you have a higher education and you're professional, sophisticated. It's like usually the guy who's crazy that does that. The dramatic. Have you ever done a dramatic?
I have not.
Exit?
No, I have yet to try
it's
it.
Quite fulfilling, really.
Let we'll
it
talk
out.
About
you
that.
Don't carry anything with you. So anyway, you quit, but you didn't actually have another job or anything.
I did not. I was speaking to a very successful entrepreneur over here in Dubai, and we had ideas, but it wasn't a plan.
Who's been on the show, by the way?
He has. Yes.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Okay,
he's the man. He's
great
the man.
Guy. So
we're not allowed to mention him.
Let's not mention him. He knows who he is. But I moved here to work on developing ideas with that person, and I think soon after that, Rocket Internet came to Dubai with a idea to launch e-commerce, a fashion e-commerce.
Is it like Rocket, like Rocket Out, like AC/DC, like Rocket, or is it like Rocket, like Elon Musk, SpaceX, we're going to
yes.
Mars Rocket?
Rocket,
which
like,
one is
like NASA Space Launch. They Rocket is one of the largest internet e-commerce incubators globally, investors globally. They actually IPO today. But Rocket came
you're
to the region.
You're supposed to be in a media blackout.
Yes.
You know, but yeah. You're on air. Literally the day. Literally the day you're told not to be on air, you are actually on. You're a rebel.
I'm a rebel like that. But so they came to the market having launched a number of fashion e-commerce companies globally, and they really wanted to develop it over here in Dubai. It was perfect timing for me. I had not really started getting into anything deep with that entrepreneur, and so decided, you know, when you launch a company or when you get into entrepreneurship, there are two main risks that you need to really navigate. One is the financing risk, and number two is execution risk. I think the way I saw it, given that, you know, I had a family, I had a kid, and I wasn't making an income, maybe it might be best to just drop one of those risks. And I think with Rocket, the nice thing was financing risk becomes less of a headache that you need to worry about. And it really just becomes execution, trying to build a company that will grow and will become viable.
But then you give up your equity, right?
You don't give up your equity. You give up a portion, or, you know, you don't have as much equity.
So how much do you have to relinquish with that? You know, to mitigate that risk, you know.
Obviously, with that financing risk gone, you relinquish a large part of that.
But majority?
It is obviously majority. Okay. But, you know, as well, the way I saw it is the potential for building such a company is significant, and the amount of equity that I would be able to get is not insignificant at that stage.
Right. It's still a game changer. Life changer for you, life changing moment.
For sure, and I absolutely happy with that decision at that point in time. Obviously, it was I was telling you my first in my first 2 months in at Namshi, I came here and we were 10 people. To talk about Namshi's beginnings on the business breakfast. Today we're over 220 people.
Wow, 220 people.
Yes.
And now the people who work here are wearing the shirts from you. So you can order like Nikes, everything, Adidas. Marcus has a Nike shirt on from your store. He's looking at me through the window right
yep.
now.
He was a happy customer.
So that's pretty cool. But you say women buy a lot of dresses as well.
So women are usually shopping for clothing, and the men are shopping for footwear.
I thought the women would go for footwear because I guess footwear the women need to
I think they'd like to try it on. They'd like to feel comfortable in it.
So. There's like a process for that. Yeah. There's a process for that one, I'm sure. But I thought you'd have to try the dresses on and stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, so the things that we thought about initially was were what are the key obstacles and the key issues that customers would face, and why, what would stop them from ordering from us. And one of the obviously big risks is sizing and fitting. So we made that easy by allowing free returns and free deliveries to the customers.
So it's better to buy from you than the store, because you can't return it at the store sometimes.
I think most stores are moving towards a bit more flexibility,
but cash.
But yeah,
you don't give cash either.
We provide cash on delivery, so you can pay by cash once you.
But I can't get my cash back.
It's more difficult to get your cash back once you give it to us. We offer vouchers on return. But one of the big things that we're providing our customers is convenience and variety. Right? So you go to a mall, you're looking for a blue shirt. You might have to go into 4 or 5 stores to find the blue shirt that you like. Whereas online, it's a click of a button. You see all the blue shirts that are available, and within a day or two, it's at your foot. It's at your door.
It's amazing. One time Adidas came out with that shoe that had the leopard tail coming out, the fluffy. I don't know if you ever saw that, but I really wanted that shoe, but I can't find it anymore. But we're talking about challenges. What's the biggest challenge you face as you go from 10 people, you have 2,000% growth. You know, what are the big challenges there? And just before you answer that, if anyone else out there has a question about starting up your .com business, you can SMS us at 4001 or use the mobile app that you can download from DubaiEye1038.com, and just send your question in, and Hussam will be forced to answer whatever it is. So with that in mind, just tell us what were some of the big business hurdles as you went through that growth spurt.
Sure. So many, many challenges that we face and we continue to face every day. I think one of the biggest challenges is really finding the right talent. And it is a learning process for us of what that right talent is and who those people are. And then developing that right talent and retaining it. So it has been a constant challenge and it remains until this very day. But what we've built is a company with a group of people that love what they do. They do an incredibly good job at it and really have brought us to where we are today. I think we've definitely made a lot of mistakes along the way, but those mistakes have helped us figure out the type of people and the type of people that would succeed at a company like ours. So I think that was and still remains one of the biggest challenges. And I think more on the operational side, it is how do you scale in a challenging market like the GCC, where e-commerce penetration is still not as big as it is in other parts of the world, and how do you do that without burning a ton of money?
How much money did you burn? Are you allowed to say, or
I'd rather not talk about that. But in the early days,
I don't necessarily want to think about that.
In the early days, it was a challenge. Operationally, this market is difficult, especially with a cash-dominated market where the customer orders a product with little commitment to actually receive it. There are ways. there is a big chance in which you can really hurt yourself.
The challenge of starting a .com up in the GCC. This is Hussam Arab, the co-founder of Namshi.com, one of the region's leading online fashion .com retailers. So we're going to be hearing more of his secrets to success in cyberspace in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Hussam Arab, the co-founder of Namshi.com, one of the region's leading fashion online e-retailers. You can buy shirts, dresses, shoes, all kinds of stuff on there, have it delivered to your house or your office within 24 hours. It's amazing. Hussam, thank you so much for coming on, and welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
And just for those of you joining us, you know, one of the things about Hossam, like what I was saying, is that although early on in life you weren't really sure what you were going to do, first you said, okay, maybe I'll be a doctor. You go to like the best medical school in Canada, figure out after year one you don't want to do that, so you switch to become now the best engineer possible, end up working for Schlumberger and GE, you know, big iconic brands. Then you decide, no, I want to go into business, so you go to the best business school in the world, Harvard. Okay, some people may debate that, but it's an okay school, we could all admit. Then, you know, after that you do the usual MBA ITIS thing and either go into strategy consulting or private equity, and off you go. Throw in an assignment or two with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, but that's another story. And then you say, forget it, I don't want to be an engineer, I don't want to be a doctor, I don't want to be a strategy consultant, I want to be an entrepreneur. And you throw caution to the wind with your young child in tow and relinquish any job security and take the plunge. But what I like what you termed, you said you became the institutionalized entrepreneur. So you had Rocket backing, you had a backer, yeah. And so you just mitigated your financing risk.
Yeah.
What is the different, you know, what kind of management style do you need? Because I think one of the, you know, that's the perfect actual profile for an entrepreneur, because you've been exposed to different approaches, different strategies, different business models. You have this melange now. What is the best, you know, operating style for the dot-com space?
I think, you know, I've seen multiple leaders come into our business, and some of them have thrived, and others not so much. And I think the difference really is, in a business like ours, you really need to be very detail oriented. You need to be able to, you know, I think micromanage is a very bad word, but really it is to show your employees that you understand the nitty-gritty, that you are able to roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty. And I think that is very important in a business like ours, where it is all about the detail. Operations in our business is incredibly difficult, and you need to be able to understand that. You know, buying a small mistake on buying a few million dollars of inventory could really turn your business upside down. And I think you really need to be able to get down and dirty and micromanage to a certain extent.
Down and dirty. I mean, you're attracting a different audience now, but the audience is going berserk now. And they're saying here, we have one individual asking, you know, when you're going into a dot-com, do you need to know how to do programming to keep things inexpensive? Do you need to be that kind of tech savvy person? What's your take on that?
So, in a dot-com environment, you definitely need to have that skill set around you. I for one, do not. You know, I'm not a programmer, and I don't. I'm not strong at that at all. But I have an amazing partner who is one of the best programmers I've ever met. So, and I think in a business like ours, you need to be on top of the game when it comes to setting up your IT infrastructure, your backend systems, and so on. So it is very important to have that skill set around you and to be able to navigate that.
Now, people are always asking, like, you know, how do you get financing? You know, how did you get introduced to Rocket? And then initially, when you're pitching for financing, you know, do you need to have a PowerPoint, or do you need like to have a 500-page business plan, or, you know, what's kind of the medium? What's the process?
I think for us, Rocket was serendipitous. It was it happened for us at the right time. But I think it really is for up and coming entrepreneurs is to have an idea that they truly believe in and they are able to sell. And
so how do you sell it, with a PowerPoint, or do you make like flyers?
I think that 30-second pitch is
just
very
verbally
important. You need to be able to verbalize it and then be able to sell it. I think a PowerPoint is a nice to have, but I don't think that's going to do the job for you.
It's not. You have to have the gift of gab.
Hopefully,
yeah. What's your advice to anybody who wants to take off and rocket in cyberspace?
My advice is really to continue trying until you find something that you love and you enjoy. And I think that's been the big lessons for me over the past few years. It is I continue to try, and I continue to you know, fail to get to happiness, if you will. And I think I'm much closer to that right now. I'm in a good spot that I consider myself very lucky. Getting to my job every day and working with the people that I work with, and finally, I think that for me is success to a certain extent.
You use the word failure. Do you think people need to fail their way to success? Because in a way, that's what you did.
I mean, you need to try, right? And if you're trying and you're moving to something else, then you know, failure, I think, is a very strong word, but you know, I don't shy away from using it for myself. And I think I did fail at getting to where potentially I could have what I could have achieved at each of those jobs. But really, the journey was what I was after, and I was you know, trying to get to where I am today. I think is the end result of that continued failure.
It's the most exciting time as well. You know, that in the Middle East, you know, there's a huge upside. There's a bunch of white space out there, but at the end of the day, these decisions are really underpinned by a huge amount of courage that you're going to just cut off. Like, Waha Capital is one of the most stable companies out there. I mean, they've been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, very financially sound, and there's a huge upside for a career there. I mean, you throw that all away, that takes courage.
Yeah, I think it was courage, but I think it was also over time. It was I think I was just fed up of changing, constantly changing careers and trying new things within a short time frame, and you know, I really did want to build something up and build a career spend a decent amount of time in one place, and I've finally done that. I don't think I've ever worked in a place for more than 2.5 years. I'm going on 3 years right now at Namshi.
Woohoo! Long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to thank you so much, Hossam, for coming out and sharing your story, and it's been a pleasure, and I'll have to go shopping on namshi.com now.
Please do. Thank you very much for having me.